Genesis chapter 31. Now, this is where Jacob is coming to the end of the time when he lived with Laban. And he's become very wealthy. His flocks have got bigger and bigger because God has blessed him. And now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. From that which was our father's has he gotten all this wealth." Well, that wasn't true. God had blessed him, but of course they were jealous, and so they said, yeah, you just stole it. Which is what happened to poor Job. He had the same. His so-called friends said, he's only wealthy because he stole it. And so all these basic human situations where people get jealous and they tell lies about you, all this that we go through day by day, people have gone through in Bible times, and that's why we read the Bible. So Jacob is falsely accused by the sons of Laban. And Jacob saw the expression on Laban's face, and it was not toward him as it used to be. So he gets this feeling that he doesn't like me. And that's just how we sometimes feel that, someone's turned against me. So the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." That's what God had promised him many years ago when he had run away from his family after he deceived Esau and Isaac, his father, about the birthright. And he came to Bethel and he lay down and he saw that vision of the stairway going up to heaven and the angels ascending and descending. And God had said, "I will be with you and I will bring you home." And so now God is saying, "I'm going to fulfill that." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, and he said to them, "I see the look on your father's face that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength. Your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God didn't allow him to hurt me." Well, we don't actually read that Laban had changed Jacob's wages 10 times, but obviously he did because he says so here. And so when you're reading about people in the Bible, you're just reading a few parts of their lives. So much went on in their lives that we don't know. And in the kingdom of God, we look forward to talking to them about it. And so he says, "If your father said thus, 'The speckled will be your wages,' then all the flock bore speckled. If he then said, 'The streaked will be your wages,' then all the flock bore streaked. Thus God has taken away your father's animals and given them to me. It happened during mating season that I lifted up my eyes, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the male goats which leaped on the flock were streaked, speckled, and grizzled. The angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Now lift up your eyes, and behold, all the male goats which leap on the flock are streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban does to you.'" So when you think that people don't notice all the bad things I'm going through at the hands of this person or that person, and even God doesn't seem to do anything, well, he sees. "I have seen all that Laban does to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you vowed a vow to me. Now arise, get out from this land, and return to the land of your birth." Rachel and Leah answered him, "Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's family? Aren't we counted by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and has quite devoured our money. For all the riches which God has taken away from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do." Now that's how a faithful wife or husband should be to their husband or wife, to say, "Look, whatever God has said to you, do, and I'll support you." Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives on the camels. He took away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gathered, including the animals which he'd gained in Paddan Aram, to go to Isaac his father to the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole the teraphim that were her father's. Now the teraphim were idols. So it just shows that Rachel worshipped idols, and so did Laban. So although Rebekah, Jacob's mother, had sent him to Laban because she thought that he was a better sort of believer than the girls in the land of Canaan, well, actually, they were still worshipping idols. So Jacob deceived Laban the Syrian and that he didn't tell him that he was running away. Well, he deceived his brother Esau, he deceived his father Isaac, and now he deceives Laban, his uncle. So he fled with all that he had. He rose up, passed over the river, and set his face toward Mount Gilead. Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. He took his relatives with him and chased after him 7 days' journey. He overtook him in the mountain of Gilead. God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream of the night and said to him, "Be careful that you don't speak to Jacob, either good or bad." Laban caught up with Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountain, and Laban with his relatives encamped in the mountain of Gilead. Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you've deceived me and carried away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and deceive me and didn't tell me, that I might have sent you away with joy and with songs, with tambourines and harps, and didn't allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters?" Well, of course, Laban was so cunning, Jacob knew he wasn't really going to do that. Like, he deceived him when he'd worked 7 years to marry Rachel, and then he gives him Leah and all that. So Laban goes on, "Now you have done foolishly. It is in the power of my hand to hurt you. But the God of your father," and you notice Laban doesn't talk about that God as his God, "the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Take heed to yourself that you don't speak to Jacob, either good or bad. Now you want to be gone, because you greatly long for your father's family, but why have you stolen my gods?' Jacob replied to Laban, 'Because I was frightened, for I said, lest you should take your daughters from me by force. Anyone you find with your gods shall not live. Before our relatives, you discern what is yours with me and take it.' But Jacob didn't know that Rachel had stolen them. And so he said, you know, whoever's got the gods, kill them. And it was Rachel. And he didn't know that. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two female servants. But he didn't find them. He went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the teraphim, the idols, put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. Laban felt about all the tent but didn't find them, so he really searched so carefully. And Rachel said to her father, "Don't let my lord be angry that I can't stand up before you, because I'm sick." He searched but didn't find the idols. And then Jacob was angry, and he argued with Laban. "What is my trespass? What's my sin that you've hotly pursued after me? And now you have felt around all my stuff. What have you found of all your household stuff? Put it down here before my relatives and your relatives, that they may judge between us two." So you see, Jacob was very sure that he was right, and "No, we didn't steal your idols. Well, it was only by God's grace that Laban didn't find them, because Rachel was sitting on them." So you see, they were all a pretty bad lot, worshipping idols, Rachel lying to her father like Jacob lied to his father. And then Jacob goes on about what a righteous man he is. He says, "These 20 years I've been with you," that's with Laban, "your goats and your animals have not cast their young, and I haven't eaten the rams of your flocks. Whatever was torn by wild animals I didn't bring to you, I bore its loss. Of my hand you required it, whether it was stolen by day or by night. This was my situation. In the day, the drought consumed me." It's very hot in the desert, in the Middle Eastern areas at night. In the daytime. "And the frost consumed me by night," because it gets really cold in the desert at night. "And my sleep departed from my eyes. These 20 years I've been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." Now Jacob is very full of his own righteousness. Laban replied to Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine. And what can I do this day to these my daughters, or to their children whom they have borne? Now come, let's make a covenant, you and me, and let it be for a witness between me and you." Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. Jacob said to his relatives, "Gather stones." They took stones and made a heap. They ate there by the heap. So to eat together was like a sign of covenant, of agreement, of having made a promise and keeping to it. And that's what we do when we break bread, actually. It's the cup of the new covenant that we take. It's a sign, it's a reminder that we are in that covenant with God and with Jesus. So they ate there by the heap of stones, and Laban called it Jegar Sachadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, "This heap is witness between me and you this day." Therefore it was named Galeed and Mizpah, for he said, "Yahweh watch between me and you when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. Behold, God is witness between me and you." Laban said to Jacob, "See this heap and see the pillar which I have set between me and you. May this heap be a witness and the pillar be a witness that I will not pass over this heap to you, and that you will not pass over this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of father, judge between us." Then Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Jacob offered a sacrifice in the mountain and called his relatives to eat bread. They ate bread and stayed all night in the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them and returned to his place. So, they've made an agreement that here's sort of a line, and Jacob, you promise you're not going to come back over this line ever, or I can then do you harm, I can then kill you. Sure, Jacob says, I won't be coming back, I won't cross this line. Okay, so Laban lets him go, but we're going to read in the next chapter, is that as Jacob goes on his way, Esau, his brother, is coming to meet him with 400 men. And Jacob can't run back. If he crosses the line, well then, he's broken the agreement, and Laban's going to kill him. He's agreed that. So he's in a position where he can only throw himself on God.